The New South Wales government has proposed some tough new measures to prevent drug-related deaths at music festivals. The New South Wales Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, says that under her proposed changes, drug dealers would face 25 years in prison if they were found responsible for a death from a drug they provided. The Premier says that tough on-the-spot fines would also be introduced, targeting festival-goers caught with drugs. The new laws were recommended by an expert panel established by the state government in response to two deaths at an electronic music festival in Sydney last month. But legal experts are questioning how the new rules would be enforced. Doug Humphreys is the president of the New South Wales Law Society. Doug Humphreys, welcome to breakfast.
Morning, Fran.
We don't have the legislation to see yet, but what's your assessment of this proposal, these recommendations? Should drug dealers be held responsible for deaths caused by the drugs they supply?
First of all, it's a tragedy that we've lost a couple of young lives to a drug overdose at a music festival. And it's right and proper that we should consider whether or not there's more that we can do. But the fact of the matter is we already have significant laws that outlaw, first of all, drug possession, and second of all, the supply of drugs to people. The concept that you would introduce a strict liability offence, which is what would be required, that is, it's the mere doing of the act, that there's no guilty intent, is a problematic from a criminal law perspective.
And how would this change be different from what happens now to someone who supplies a drug that turns out to be too strong or cut with something that kills somebody?
Well, the High Court in a case of Burns and the Queen in 2012 held that drug dealers do not owe their clients a duty of care, and that simple supply is inherently not a dangerous act. So what we're saying at the moment is, unless you're aware of the fact that the drug was impure or likely to cause death, you can't be held responsible for a death where the person voluntarily takes drugs. What we would be doing here, and it would be necessary to implement, if that is the intent of the government, is to create a strict liability offence so that it would be the mere act and the result of that act that would constitute a very, very serious criminal offence.
Under proposed changes, drug suppliers face between 10 years in jail for grievous bodily harm and up to 25 years for manslaughter. How will drug dealers be held responsible for deaths caused by a bad pill? How do you do that?
Well, that's why I'm saying you've got to turn it and go from the situation whereby there needs to be a recklessness as to the outcome or a knowledge of the fact that the drugs were impure and likely to cause harm to a situation whereby you're going to up the penalty on a strict liability offence to 25 years.
Yeah, that's right. So it's impractical and unfair, is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is it's going to require really careful drafting in order to achieve the intent, because at the same time, the government has said that they don't want to turn around and criminalise with this offence the circumstances of a friend who goes out and buys some drugs for the group and then is reimbursed for them. Now, the police say that they can differentiate between that sort of circumstance and a situation whereby you've got a person who is supplying for profit or gain. But I can tell you that's going to be very difficult in circumstances where, as I said, a person's seeking reimbursement or they're simply seeking to cover their own costs.
Yes, or even if someone was making a profit, they're presumably being supplied by someone who's making a lot more profit somewhere up the chain. Where do you apply the penalty?
Well, that's right. And the other point I would say is this. I haven't seen a lot of evidence of police being able to actually identify suppliers in circumstances whereby there has been a supply in a music festival. Certainly they're able to turn out and grab people who are in possession of a prescribed quantity, which puts them in the supply situation. But I haven't seen anything to date. And if I look at what the police commissioner was saying, he said, in most cases, people do know the dealers, so it's within our ability to investigate these appropriately through the homicide squad, local detectives, forensic or other modern methods. Well, I haven't seen a lot of evidence of that to date.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 20 to 9. Our guest is Doug Humphreys from the New South Wales Law Society. Doug, this report says in its cover letter that the panel acknowledges that numerous stakeholders raised the issue of pill testing, which is outside the terms of reference. So the Premier made clear to the panel that the New South Wales government has no tolerance for illegal drugs and pill testing wasn't within the terms of reference. Should it have looked at pill testing, or do you accept that the community more broadly is not interested in that lenient path?
The Premier ruled it out from the very beginning, and as a result, the panel did not go there. This was a very short inquiry. It took place over 1 month. There was very limited consultation, and indeed, other than the police commissioner, no legal expert was actually consulted in relation to the proposals. I think the community are adult enough and big enough to be able to have a broad and mature discussion about harm minimisation. Because at the end of the day, what we want to do is we want to stop people overdosing. And in exactly the same way as we came to a conclusion years ago that a safe injecting room was a way that we could harm minimise, I think we're entitled to have an adult discussion about pill testing.
If these reforms are carried through, Doug, how would New South Wales compare to other states?
Look, there are similar laws in a number of the other states, but we've seen very, very few convictions in relation to them. In most cases, what they're doing is they're actually proceeding under the normal supply regime, which is well established, well known. As I said to you, there's a lot of issues in relation to the creation of a strict liability offence. And as I said, in circumstances where the police can turn around and say, this man's a hardcore dealer, he's not just a friend.
Indeed. One of the other recommendations, which there's mixed views on, is the recommendation of on-the-spot fines for possession. The government wants to trial that. It'd be around $500. Do you think that's going to be more of a deterrent than the situation that's current in place, which is that people go to court?
My view is, and always has been, that the impact of having to go to court, to have the public shaming that is involved in having to stand up in a public forum and admit a guilt in relation to an offence, and then have to turn around and put one's case to a magistrate and having to listen to the magistrate when they sentence you, is a far more of a deterrent than effectively regulating drug possession to a traffic fine, which is what an on-the-spot fine is.
Doug Humphreys, thank you very much for joining us. Doug
Humphreys. It's a pleasure.
Doug is the president of the New South Wales Law Society.